Would you like to see how Robert and I both approach a chart differently? We have readings scheduled Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday where you can do just that from the gallery. Kind of like speed dating for chart reading. Well, not really. But if you'd like to peek in with us, registration is at the top of funastrology.com. Welcome in to the Fun Astrology Podcast. Thomas Miller here on Hump Day, March 13th. I just saw something funny out the window. I'm right on the golf course, and right outside on the patio here is the 15th tee box, and three golf carts just pulled up almost like a presidential limousine caravan, you know. And the first guy... his golf cart has a door on it. So he swung open this door and emerged with his driver. And I guess he was just like, wow, oh boy, they're having fun. That's great. Hey, listen, I thought since there's nothing going on today, tomorrow, as we mentioned yesterday, is the beginning of the moon wobble. If you go out for the 21-day backup period, that I thought maybe we would just talk about the eclipse coming on April 8th from a standpoint of some of the things that are going to be happening or that we might expect around this eclipse. The first thing that I struggled with a little bit was where to cast the chart. Should I cast it where I was in North Carolina, where I am now in California? And then I thought, why not cast it to a city where it's going to be in full view? And since I was just there, I thought, well, what about Little Rock, Arkansas? That's where Robert Glasscock is and where he will be seeing it, hopefully, if it's not cloudy that day. And with that, it puts the sun and the moon directly conjoined at 1:20 p.m. Little Rock Central Time. Now, you know how we've been talking about this bundled chart formation. And on the day of the eclipse coming, April 8th, 2024... this is the full solar eclipse that will be viewed on a swath from basically South Texas up through Little Rock, northeasterly direction, up just skirts past the east side of the Great Lakes area, then on eclipse New England, and then on up into Canada. Question is, what along that line will be cloudy and what will be clear? So we've been dealing with this bundled chart formation, so we know right off the bat that the energy around this eclipse is going to be very concentrated. And on that day, Uranus has moved over to 21 degrees. So now we have a 110 degree, I guess, spread between Pluto at 1 degree Aquarius, almost at 2, almost but not quite. And if Pluto were not hanging over there in Aquarius, the rest of the sky would be in 3 signs, because Mars will be at 13 degrees Pisces. And then we have everything moving from there over to 21 degrees in Taurus. That's Uranus. That is a super tight configuration. The sun and the moon will be at 19 degrees 23 minutes, at least in Little Rock, when they can join. And they will be sitting directly, I mean 1 minute away from Chiron, all in Aries. They will be in the ninth house, and in the equal house system, the ninth house is ruled at that time by Aries. And also at that time, Leo is the ascendant. 2 degrees, 16 minutes, Leo. So there is a lot of fire in critical positions for this eclipse. In fact, another one you could throw in there, because it's in the ninth house, that's in zodiacal order, ruled by Sagittarius, and there's your other fire sign. So we know a couple of things right off the bat. We know this has a big spiritual component about it, the ninth house of spirituality, ruled by Sagittarius, a spiritual sign, and it is directly conjunct with Chiron, meaning that we are going to be facing our wounds and our karmic past. And I mean, look at my own story. If you heard it on Level Up, if you didn't, the replays are on YouTube and Facebook from Sunday night, talking about dealing with karma in the very area that I knew it had always been, religious wounds over money. That's my Chiron. In fact, when I look at it in both equal and whole sign, it's in the eighth and the ninth houses, and there it is. So it's a direct hit already in my own life, playing itself out. What else is in Aries, almost conjunct the eclipse, but the North Node? Karma, karma, karma. It really is. And speaking of Lord Karma, Lord Karma is in the bundle. Saturn is in the middle degrees of Pisces, 14 degrees and a quarter, basically, or a half. And it will be conjunct Mars just by 1 degree on eclipse day. If you follow the ancient Hellenistic form of astrology, you know those are the two malefics, the two great malefics, the day and night sect malefics, are 1 degree apart in Pisces, a spiritual sign. And we know that the effects of eclipses can happen before and after the eclipse date itself. And I'm just sitting here looking at my own cross-country trip with my family around these specific areas. You can't make this stuff up, folks. So I don't know, you know, where's the line between who gets drawn the card and gets to experience these kinds of things? How much does it show up in the collective? And then the question is, how much of this is going to be a residual effect? See, because of the bundle, it's very specific, pinpointed, concentrated, tight flashlight beam kind of energy. There are so many different aspects to this eclipse that we'll talk about more as we get closer to it and as we have these days like we do today where there are no aspects in the sky other than what we've already discussed. But I just had a thought. I'm going to do a show. I will do a podcast in the next week or so where we read the whole bundle as one planet, just like I do with my Sun, Mars, and Neptune, very close together at 1 degree. I'll read it like one. We'll see where that goes. You guys have a great, wonderful hump day. I love you, and I'll see you back tomorrow.